This program is available on these quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How the devil are you? What do you mean you're not well? It's only boys that don't, you know, aren't well, and they have man flu things and stuff like that, rather like our Lee Banks, who I'll introduce in a moment. He's not at all unwell, really. It's just that he thinks he's unwell and has been banging on about it all week. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in Poprad, in Slovakia. Don't forget you can get in touch with us on the chat room, or you can do it on the social thing, by all the stations you heard at the beginning. And now I go down to Spain, who himself is down there, and who himself will be upset if I don't say, "How are you, Lee?" So I won't, and therefore he'll be upset for the whole programme. So hello, Lee.
It's all right. I'm upset for most of these programmes anyway, because you just treat me like I'm a pariah.
A pariah?
Yeah, I don't know what that is really, but what is a pariah?
It's like somebody who's been exiled.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. That's exactly. So I was right. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was very kind of him to point out that I've been ill. And I've just been having a word with the wonderful Rachel Brunsdon, saying what happened was, ladies and gentlemen, I found this incredible place, the place that I just want to spend the rest of my life. I want to die in this place. It's called, well, I can't remember what it's called, but it's by the sea.
It's so memorable, you can't remember it.
It's called Valencia Hospital.
Yeah. No, and it's beautiful. And there's all these 19th century houses that have been built on the beach, and the sea laps up against the veranda. And me and my wonderful lady, who I can't remember her name either now, and we went down there, and we were sitting on the beach, and I sat in the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, I was sitting in the sea with the water wafting up against my nipples and eating prawns.
Yeah, but you're supposed to cook them first.
Did you?
I know, but I thought it was like, it's like sushi, isn't it? Or sushi.
No, it's really not.
No. No wonder you've got deli belly in Spain.
Well, I know, that's the thing. I'll tell you, it wasn't stupid. I didn't eat the what are those called? Those things with eight legs. I didn't eat any of them that were floating by. Because I thought they'd fight back. But, oh, those little prawns. Don't have any of them, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Talk about Montezuma's revenge. I could have cleared the sea.
Yeah, now we know why there's pollution in EU seas, don't we? down in Melbourne, it's Rachel Brunsdon.
Hello. I've got an internet connection.
I was waiting for that.
Well, it's the biggest thing that's happened to me all day, because I've been waiting all day for it to happen, and I didn't think it was going to, and I thought I sent this panicky message to the uncles at, like, you know, 5 minutes to the program, thinking, no, it's not going to happen.
It happened. What did I tell you on Facebook?
Be positive and eat some ice cream.
Yes, there you go. You see, and it worked.
It did. The ice cream did work. But you know what? I've got an ailment of my own.
Have you? Oh, his name's Lee.
Uncle Lee, you remember how enormous the mosquitoes are in Australia?
They sit there in the chairs with the legs. I've lost the power of speech as well, with the legs crossed, waiting for you to come in the room. Yeah.
They have their own airport. And yes. Everything with the mosquitoes guiding them in with those, you know, fluoro torches. A mosquito got to me, which is really interesting, because a mosquito never got to me the whole time I was up in the tropics, and I'm now in southerly Melbourne and a mosquito got me. The irony. Anyway, on the wrist, and it's become infected and really, really sore. And do you know what I hit? It led me to the following thing.
What?
Mosquitoes should be vegans.
They should. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
They should be vegans, yeah.
They should be.
It's wrong. It's just the whole premise is wrong. Wrong.
Absolutely. Right, boys and girls, we've got lots to get on, and we've got some new news for you this week to squeeze in as well, so we'll get on with it. And I think we ought to just take a second to remember 9/11 from 13 years ago. This week, President Obama's led the tributes, to nearly 3,000 people who died. And ceremonies took place in Manhattan, as one would expect. And also a ceremony of remembrance took place down in Pennsylvania, where Flight 93 was killed as well. And all I can say is probably rather like the thing I said on Facebook. I just wish normal, regular, conventional people never, ever find themselves getting dragged into something by lunatics claiming to be religious, because it's a load of rubbish. Mm. I think that's it.
I'm a bit. I guess you could classify me as an atheist, but I have trouble figuring how any sort of deity would wish, you know, people to conduct themselves in that manner in their name.
I agree.
Just can't. I can't wrap my head around it. And because it's 13 years ago, I noticed that actually the people commenting about it get less and less every year. Yeah. And that troubles me too, because we shouldn't forget this. And the other thing that I was watching a brand new documentary that's come out about this tragedy, because National Geographic, bless them, they bring a new one out every year, but it was about the elite emergency police force that rescued the two Port Authority policemen who were trapped under there for, you know, 14, 15 hours.
That's right, yeah.
And then a film was made about them. And I was thinking to myself, you know, rather than be sad about this, I'm going to remember it as a day that some really extraordinary people did some really extraordinary things.
I agree.
Absolutely. I do as well. Another sad thing about it, something that I've noticed, like Rachel said, it's 13 years ago. And the memory does tend to grow dim. I remember exactly what I was doing and where I was when this happened, and as most people do. But the memory does grow dim. And what really saddened me was watching a news report last night about the site of 9/11. And it actually took you in the 9/11 gift shop, where you could buy cheese boards to commemorate and things like that, and hoodies with slogans
Where does the money go?
Well, I think it goes into they reckon it costs £63 million a year to run the 9/11 site. Well, that's fine, but there are different ways of raising money. There are more dignified ways of raising money. And the other sad bit is, why would you buy a cheese board? Why would you buy a cheese board to celebrate it? Yeah.
I think it's in really poor taste, and I think if money's going to be raised, it should be going to the guys who were the first responders who are now suffering from acute illnesses because of the toxic stuff they went into and stayed in there for hours and hours and hours and breathing it in and breathing it in and breathing in, who are now horribly, horribly sick.
I agree with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we move on. Tributes are flooded in for the James Bond villain known as Jaws, Robert Keel, who died at the age of 74, bless him. And I did listen to the tribute from Sir Roger Moore. He was totally, totally distraught. And it's quite ironic that Moore and Keel actually got together a couple of weeks ago on a radio programme in the UK. But such is life. He was just a wonderful character. Huge, great guy. 7 foot two tall. That's what you call him.
Yeah, but everybody goes on about him being a giant at 7 foot two. 7 foot two is not massive now.
Well, it is to me.
It is to me.
It is to you. How big's Rob? How tall's Rob?
6'5". Which is ridiculous together.
I'm 6'5" as well. 7 foot. I know my first wife was 4'11". It was like taking me monkey out. And it's just like 7'2". He's a big bloke, but he was a hero in his own way.
Of course he was. He was lovely. He was a lovely chap. So we wish him a great, peaceful second life, wherever it happens to be. Italian diva and soprano Magna Olivero has died at the age of 104 years old.
I know, still singing as well.
Yeah,
well,
no.
So old.
She actually isn't now.
No, well, no, no, obviously not. But she was performing up until a few years ago, wasn't she?
99. She was still going.
Was she singing
one cornetto?
Was she portly?
Poorly? No, she was a bit poorly before she shuffled
stop
off
it,
as well.
Stop it, stop it, stop it.
You know, you know we're setting up for that joke and you must allow us to do
I
it.
I know, I went away from it. I moved away from it. She didn't.
I was going that right there.
Australian, yeah, convict didn't.
Ah, right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, I know where you're going. Anyway, God, good luck to
I don't actually know where she's going. God, say it.
I was wondering if she was portly, because it's not over till the fat lady sings.
That was terrible.
I never said I was funny.
Magda, don't drop a thunderbolt, for goodness sake. Stage and screen actor Sir Donald Sinden has died. I liked him.
He was posh.
He was a good egg.
Posh.
Good egg.
And Rachel's quiet as me. She doesn't have any idea who he was.
I have no idea who he is, but God rest him.
He was one of the most famous English film stars ever, really.
No, he just
Rach, you've never seen The Day of the Jackal?
No.
No? Oh, he was in that. I didn't realise he was in that.
Yeah.
He was in The Cruel Sea. There you are, Rachel. Remember The Cruel Sea? Nicholas Montserrat's book, The Cruel Sea. No. All right,
Doctor
in the House, Doctor in the House, comedy programme, makes...
I remember the programme, but I don't remember
the
man.
Oh, I knew that. Oh, dear.
I remember the programme. You know how I was brought up on all those programmes, but I don't remember who he was.
Spitting Image.
Of whom?
This is not going well, is it?
No.
This is just not going well, is it? Anyway.
I have a memory that I just don't have.
Anyway, Donald Sinden died at the age of 90, and he was from Romney Marsh, wasn't he, down in Kent?
He was.
Yeah, absolutely. Not far away from where I used to live. But anyway.
Tragic life.
It was actually rather.
Yeah, you were going to do that bit then, weren't you?
I was brewing up to it. Jeremy, his son, died in 1996. And, of course, his wife, Deanna, died as well in 2004. But his other son's still there. And recently, he actually presented a programme on Sky Arts. West End Theatres. And he just had that... I hated him, really, you know.
Because he had that wonderful voice, didn't he?
That was
his stock in trade, really.
Absolutely was.
I thought the way his son put it, though, was very, very moving and touching. And I thought, you know, it was nice. Mark Sinden, who is also an actor and a director, actually said, "My father has finished dying." I thought that was a really nice way to put it.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That is rather nice. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you haven't seen this around, and I am a bit shocked that it wasn't everywhere, because it should have been. Some of the, if you've got a Gmail email account, do check it. Because over 5 million accounts were compromised, I'll use that word, because some hackers got hold of them. Nobody's actually 100% sure of how far this went, because Google won't say. But the account holders are mainly English, Russian and Spanish.
I've got two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens, though? What if they've broken into your Gmail account, what can they do? Just get your emails?
No, they can start to create a false identity with it.
What, make a mini-me?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's never good.
No, that's never a good thing.
So I better change my password, don't I?
Well, that's why I did tell you the other day.
You never mentioned it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, he never mentioned it.
I did, but you were groaning about your stomach.
Now, well, you're talking about Valencia and the CEO, was it?
Yeah.
Just somebody said, we don't swim around here anymore. We just go through the motions.
So listen, boys and girls, wherever you happen to be on the planet, if you've got a Gmail account, my advice is to change the password. It's worth doing every now and again anyway. It stops them getting into your thingy. And... Also tie
I know, it's
in.
Terrible, isn't it? Particularly if you're on the beach.
Absolutely.
Really awful. Really
absolutely
awful.
Terrible. And equally, tie it into your mobile phone number. That really wrecks their opportunities as well.
What do you mean?
Well, you can assign a mobile phone number to a Gmail account. If somebody logs onto it from an unusual country,
yes.
It then goes, are you sure about this?
That's really interesting, because I didn't know that. I don't know anything about anything, but we all know that...
It's only because you're a woman, Rachel.
I know, but if you put... That's true, but if you put your ear up to my ear, you can hear the ocean.
Yes.
But Facebook keeps asking, not the ocean you were in, Lou. Yeah. Facebook keeps asking me to, do you want to put your phone number here? And I'm like, nah. Somebody from Facebook will keep ringing me up.
No.
So I didn't do it.
No, put it on your thing, your password thing.
Yeah, if you look on there, it actually on the Gmail account, it will actually offer you now and again the chance to put your phone number in and also confirm what country you're in and just get it all right.
Jolly interesting.
And what they will then do is they will send you a PIN code, which you then put back into the account to authorise it, and then you carry on as normal. But, of course, anybody else trying to do it won't have your phone number, so they're screwed.
Unless they've hacked everything
metaphorically.
Yeah, well, there is that to it as well. But, you know, it's just worth it. It doesn't cost anything. And the trouble is, there's not a lot you can do with this sort of stuff because, guess what, boys and girls, it's all free.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, this is
going to be the tenet of the show because you do realise that he's doing a... What's it show? A technology show.
I know. I read, right behind our back.
Yeah, all the good stories that are going on in the world, and we have to do a technology show.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, being the broadcasters that we are, the show must go on. This is all to do with the bat that spooked a television presenter in America. And this little bat... It flew around. And it was on Good Morning Tennessee.
How did the bat go?
Eh?
How did the bat go?
It's the only
That's
sound.
Really good.
I couldn't do another sound similar. But they are...
Yeah.
Right, Rach, can I just give you a piece of public information?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm wearing joggy bottoms.
I'm wearing soggy bottoms.
Therefore, the pitch of my voice does not go that high.
Mine does.
Yes.
but that's because I'm a woman.
There is that to it as well. Anyway, this bat began flying around the WATE studios. They did get it out a little bit later, but he kept dive bombing the anchor.
Yeah, it would have been frightened and trying to find somewhere to nest.
Absolutely, poor little bat.
Not a funny story, this. This is just cruelty.
No, and the anchor was probably going, well, kiss Margaret. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Something like that.
Flapping his arms around.
That was a very good Tennessee accent, actually.
Thank you very much.
It wasn't bad. it's true. Us old thespians, the show must go on. And I'm trying to think now.
Well,
One time was, where was it? Gray's Inn Road in London, studios. The fire alarms went off.
Yeah.
Everybody panicked. I said... No, we're carrying on broadcasting.
Yeah.
And we did.
Ooh.
Because we're like that.
Do you want to hear my show must go on story? I don't tell these anecdotes.
All right, I'll sell mine after.
Right, go on then.
This is particularly good. I was doing The Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. And
the hills are alive
with the sound of music.
Not if you're singing.
That was good. I had a grumble thing in it.
There was
this
at least...
really isn't an instrumental story. But the stage had a revolve, so we had gone from doing the what in the movie they do the song "My Favorite Things" when the storm happens.
Yeah,
and they are all in the bedroom, but in the actual stage show they do the Lonely Goat Herd song.
Lonely.
And we had finished that and we were skipping out of the bedroom. And as you skip out of the bedroom, the revolve on the stage starts.
Oh.
And I looked up and saw that a flat, if you don't know what a theatre flat is, it's like a pretend wall.
Don't be so patronising.
And it's like, not you. Some ladies and gentlemen don't like the theatre, have never been to the theatre, don't care about the theatre. So a flat
they just live in flats.
Oh. Yes. It's a pretend wall and it's made of timber and a lot of canvas and whatnot, but it's quite tall.
Like a house, really.
I could see it. I could see it teetering. I thought, this is not good, because I was 12 at the time. And I thought, I'm feeling fearful.
And there were two other
Von Trapps with me. I was playing Brigitte. There were two other Von Trapps with me. And we just, and one of them said, put your hands in the air. And I thought, and wave them like you just don't care. And this flat fell on top of us, but we let it go. It hit the conductor. He fell over, and the show went on regardless.
Here's my show must go on story.
Oh, God.
Right. I was working on the Sunday People, which was a big Sunday newspaper in Britain at the time. Still going, still quite good. National newspaper, brilliant place to work. The centre of Manchester had just been bombed by the IRA. Right, and so I dashed out of the Sunday People newspaper office, down Oxford Street, down Deansgate, to where the bomb had gone off. In those days, we didn't have, and it's not that long ago, we didn't have mobile phones. You used to have to use phone boxes, right?
God.
So, I was the youngest reporter on Fleet Street at the time, right? And so I dashed across the road, saw what was going on, had a word with the people who were there and everything, saw all the devastation. Luckily, nobody was hurt. It was just a bomb that had blown up a restaurant. So I dashed into this phone box, dialed the copy takers who was there, saying, straight all about what had gone on, telling them, and they were typing it out. And this copper ran up, knocked on the door of the phone box, said, you'll have to get out of the phone box. There's another bomb going to go off. So, being ever the resourceful journalist, I said to the copy take, can you put me on to Terry Lovell on the news desk? I have to tell him I've got to go. So, I got on to Terry Lovell on the news desk. I said, listen, Terry, there's a bomb going to go off. I'm going to have to do the copy later. He said, have you finished doing it? I said, no. He says, finish your copy before you go.
Absolutely. So,
like an idiot, I did. I went back on the copy tasters. Another bomb went off and all the windows fell out of the phone box.
Well, that's right.
Exactly, that's the kind of reporter I am.
Yeah, but you had to be told.
Idiot. Yeah, well, yeah.
I feel that my flat story has now been watered down.
Has it?
By a bomb.
Oh,
no,
Rachel,
this is
no,
true.
We sang on yours. You had a sound shot. We did.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
That's
true.
Traumatised by that, not the story.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, a federal judge in the US has ordered that the unsealing of some court documents can take place to find out that the American government threatened Yahoo with £250,000 a day fine if it didn't turn over its data.
Well, what do you think to that then, Eric?
Well,
see, we turned it on you now.
How can they fine them that much and for what?
Well, they should be able to find them because, this is a double-edged sword, isn't it? You've got to look at it from both points of view. First of all, should the American government or indeed any government have the right to that kind of personal data come what way, willy-nilly, without any reason behind it? Should they just be able to take it? But B, should a private organisation such as Google or any similar firm actually have the right to hang on to that information and keep it and be able to blackmail us ultimately with it? Mm-hmm. Where do you draw the line? The real truth in this story lies absolutely 100% in the middle about who should have what information about us and our daily lives.
What are they entitled to do according to the Patriot Act?
Well, that's where it gets all a bit messy, you see, because their act...
That's what I mean.
Their act is different to the Australian Act, which is
very much
different to the English one. And so you get into a rather messy muddle.
You can't apply your law to another country. It doesn't work that way.
At what point do we lose any right at all to privacy?
When people started flying planes into buildings and other people
Absolutely.
Started revealing people's information without anybody's knowledge or willingness to do so. People like Julian Assange and people like Edward Snowden and
I don't think that's right at all. I think what Edward Snowden and Julian Assange did was actually a retaliation, a reaction to what the government were doing, which was keeping these fantastic secrets about us and about the world and about what was going on in our world.
We've been over this before and we all agree about this, but I mean, you know what, if you've got nothing to hide, why do you care?
Exactly.
That's one of the most heinous statements ever perpetrated on humanity.
Well, okay, let me put that into another context. There was a big argument about this with, I think it was Captain Clegg, a few years ago, with the...
Corporal Clegg.
Corporal, with the idea of ID cards in England.
Yeah.
And he said, blah, 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 blah. And I now live in Slovakia where you have to carry one. And do you know what? This is true.
Makes no difference.
It makes no difference whatsoever, apart from if I'm poorly.
Right.
And if I'm poorly and can't talk, it actually tells the people.
That would never help, ladies and gentlemen.
Just on the head with a saucepan, I'm done.
It would then actually help the paramedics know what's wrong with me, i.e. asthmatic and stuff like that.
So, diabetic.
You know, I don't understand the problem.
Well, the problem is, it's a very simple, it's a principle problem more than an actuality problem, that we are all private individuals. And if we do nothing wrong, not that people should have all the information that they can on us and not activate it if we do nothing wrong, it's the fact that if we do nothing wrong, why should people have information on us?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. No, I've done heaps of things wrong, and I don't care who knows.
Yeah, but Rob's listening, so don't say that. No.
If I drank anymore, I'd tell everybody everything.
Yeah, it's funny that goes with women, but that's an in-joke with me and Lee from earlier in the week.
Yes. Know who we're talking about out there.
Yeah, she knows who she is. She'll probably be listening right now and going, ah, I'll kill him. But we don't care, you see, because we know anyway. We know, as the old saying goes, Lee, we know, don't I?
Exactly, and don't deny it. Yeah. No, it is. It just is, and it's just wrong. It's just essentially wrong that people should have to reveal this. And I think it's a spurious argument, honestly, with the greatest of respects, and I'm not having a go, and I'm not trying to be awkward.
Yes,
but
you
I
are.
Think it's a. No, I'm not really.
How unlike you. What's going on? Ariel.
I was going to say that.
It's just a spurious argument to say that by holding information, you know, details of anything from your peccadillos to your bank account, being held by organisations that are private organisations and being held by government organisations doesn't really change the face of the world of terrorism. That doesn't help us find terrorists. If it helped us find terrorists, we'd have found Beetle John by now instead of messing about. We doesn't really help. It's an excuse for gathering information to make money out of us.
So just because you can does not mean you should.
True.
Absolutely.
True. Hmm. Yes.
I think, unless that's a double-edged question, she's got to...
No.
You just got him, Rach. You got him. Yay.
I just can work out how.
He's handicapped this week. That's the only reason.
Well, no, he's always handicapped because he's a bloke and you're a girl and we surrender before we start. Anyway, on that happy note, boys and girls, we've got to take a short break to play some thingies. And also, straight after that, we'll be having tomorrow's news today with our Tom, the news bunny. And what have I put that in there for? I am such a numpty.
Oh, dear.
I'm such a
numpty. I'm glad you understand, because now you can address the problem.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll have one of these. Oh, no. See, I've done it totally wrong. I'll try that. Shall we try this, boys and girls? He's done it again. What are you doing to me? I know it's live radio, but I'll remove you from the list. That'll do it.